Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So we've been telling you guys now for a couple of weeks that we were working on an interview with what we may have improperly dubbed him. He'll clear that up for us in a second. The founder of the Christian podcast community, and that is none other than Andrew Rappaport. And he was kind enough to join us today. So, Andrew, welcome in.
Well, thanks for having me. No, you got it right. I am. We had two people that started the Christian podcast community, but I am the would be the founder and executive director.
And, okay, so I wasn't lying. That's good to know.
You weren't lying, no.
All right.
Yeah, I'm the executive director of both Christian Podcast Community and its parent ministry, Striving for Eternity.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten that right, I believe. As we go through the rest of this interview, we'll see how much I've gotten right on it. But with that being said, if you want to just take a few minutes to sort of, mentioned you briefly. The audience has had a chance to listen to one of your episodes. So they do know you a little bit, but if you want to just give us a little more in-depth understanding of who Andrew Rappaport is, we would certainly appreciate sure. that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that a lot of people find interesting about me is I did grow up in a Jewish home, and it was, I bar mitzvahed, whole nine yards. My family actually went from, in one generation, from being Orthodox all the way through to practicing atheist, one generation. So I grew up... conservative Judaism is actually liberal. And then I was eventually bar mitzvahed reformed, which in Christian circles, reformed is considered a good thing. Not so in Judaism, reformed is bad. That's the super liberal. Ah. And so, so I've gone that whole nine yards. I got saved at the age of 16 and was so bold. I told no one about it for 2 years because I knew what would happen. My parents, and if you go on my podcast, The Rap Report, you can hear some interviews I've done where I've shared my testimony, but my parents I knew would probably bury an empty casket when they found out.
And well, that's actually not too bad if you take the modern American Christian who gets saved and spends a lifetime not telling people about it. So 2 years isn't really all that terrible, yeah. I guess.
Well, my parents discovered it. That was the thing. But yeah, no, I basically knew my parents would bury an empty casket. I'd be dead to them. And they did go casket shopping. So, I ended up in seminary, got my seminary degree, pastored a couple churches. At one point I stepped down from a church, not really having, well, what am I going to do? Didn't have the plan so much. But I just knew that I needed to step away from the church. And ended up in a speaking ministry, traveling the world, speaking at churches, discipling, and putting out discipling materials. We ended up putting together a Striving for Eternity Academy, which is an online academy. We ended up doing the Christian podcast community. I've written a couple books. One is a systematic theology of the Western religions called What Do They Believe? One is a Christian systematic theology called What Do We Believe? And then I've contributed to other books like Sharing the Good News with Mormons, On the Origin of Kinds, When My Ox Gores My Neighbor, things like that. So that'd be who I am, I guess.
Okay, so slightly more in depth than what I told them.
Well, I was listening to one of your podcasts, maybe it was very recent, and it was a podcast where you were actually on someone else's being interviewed, and you brought up that you were a Levite. I was like, oh.
Yes. I'm not a Levite, but more specifically, line of Aaron, more specifically, what's called a Kohain or Korahite. And so those would be the family that would take care of the temple inside the Holy of Holies. And so that would be my lineage.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do think the whole Levitical line is fascinating. Like when people ask me what my lineage is, I'm like, maybe some French or German. Yeah, I don't have any idea.
What does your last name mean? What is it? Where did it come from? And we're like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't even know, honestly. So that is pretty fascinating.
What I really find interesting is if you maybe hopefully have never dealt with Black Hebrew Israelites, they're becoming more popular with the rise.
I've been cursed out on Facebook by one for no good reason, which is fun.
And so they'll tell me
fruit of the spirit.
Right there. They'll tell me that I'm not a real Hebrew and they are. And I go, well, the way we would know lineage is like, so, you know, your parent, your father, your grandfather, your great grandfather, and so on and so on. Like you follow a genealogy.
Yeah.
You show me the Africans, and their whole argument is like, well, all the line of Judah were taken to the US. I'm like, okay, so let me get this straight. You really think that slave traders were concerned with preserving the tribal lines and only took those from Judah to America? I think it's the Danites that are in Jamaica. I mean, they have all this figured out, supposedly. I'm like,
well, they were gentlemen, those slave traders, don't you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, they're really going to be concerned about that. And you really think that is the proof? You know, it's like, you can't figure out your genealogy because, I mean, there are some people, very few, that kept it. I mean, Alex Haley was able to do that in his book Roots, because the family kept sharing that down the line. So they had the stories. But the reality is that people don't have that. And in the slave trade, that was lost. Very few would be able to do that. And so I should trust that because of your misinterpretation of scripture. Trust that versus like an actual line that people have. Okay.
I like the part you said that people argue that you can't know your lineage because everything was destroyed. And you said everything's preserved by word of mouth because everybody could spout off generations past, like they all had it memorized anyway, so they could just rewrite it.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, people that especially in modern day America, don't understand that when you live in a culture where it's illiterate and people, everything is by word of mouth, people forced to memorize things. When you have tribes, mm-hmm. and it was very important, that lineage, people, even in Middle Eastern countries today, many Muslim countries where tribalism is important, they can go back 14 generations and tell you their entire history back, their lineage. So if you had the paper copies, they got destroyed, what would you do? Just copy them down again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, they would even, you know, your name was essentially telling people your heritage, right? Like as far, you know, we were just reading John, right? And it's Simon, son of John, you know, that's their lineage was passed on just in your name, you know, sort of thing. So yeah, it is pretty interesting, but yeah.
Did you say John? Mine said Jonah when you said it. And I was like,
mine said John.
There's no way you got that wrong three times.
Anywho.
I can do that. I'm very good at that. I can actually, it's really bad. This is horrible to admit, you know, on a public air, right? But I'm so bad. I preached a sermon once and I in my head, don't know why, replaced one word with another word all three times that I used the word.
Perfect.
My congregation, I mean, I had this dear woman comes up to me, Pastor Andrew, you know, you, because they know that I do my own translation. And they were like, you know, you translated, you know, this word this way. And I couldn't figure out why. And I was looking at my MacArthur Study Bible. And next woman comes up and I'm like, I don't think I did that. Next woman, I was looking at my MacArthur Study Bible, see if he said anything on why. And after the third person, I'm like, I got to go back and re-listen this. And sure enough, all three times that I did it, I was consistent. I've done that several times.
Consistently wrong.
Consistency
is key though.
Yeah. I use Zechariah. Instead of saying Zechariah, I think I said Zerubbabel like every time. It was, you know, and I did it like seven times in the sermon. It was like, and I was consistent every time. And so, you know, next week I get up and I said, so you may be thinking why your pastor translated the word this word this way. And I heard a whole bunch of head nods. And I went, pastor's an idiot.
That they were testing everything you said. A good congregation there, though.
Yeah, you could have played it off and been like, I was just seeing if you were paying attention.
No, that would be deceptive. I'm not going to do that. But yeah, no, I mean, I do have high expectations of the congregation to study. And I like that. I like that if I get something wrong, I mean, I have people in my congregation, they're quick to let me know if I get something wrong, because I encourage it. I want that.
You're like, you guys are really quick to point out when I'm wrong. Like, you're just waiting for me to mess up, aren't you?
It happens often. It's just plenty of material there.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we've been plugging for you, and again, maybe you can clear up some of the details, was you have your Israel trip coming up next year. I don't know if it's necessarily your trip, but again, that's the way I've been telling people. So if you want to maybe just share that a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, I've been leading them astray there, I'm sure.
We had planned this out before COVID, and you know, with COVID, it got postponed and postponed and postponed. So we were actually supposed to go last March, and we postponed it, I think, 3 times, then had to cancel it. And because there were issues, people wouldn't go with the vaccinations and wearing masks and things like that. So we canceled it and we've redid it. And when we rebooked it, a friend of mine, Matt Slick, he had gone through the same exact thing with his trip. And so he just said, why don't we do it together? So this trip is going to be really good. So this is a once in a lifetime type of event. If you've never been to Israel, it will change the way you read your Bible. I can't express that enough, is when you're actually sitting in the land and you see the geography, and then you start to read things in scripture, all of a sudden you start to realize, for example, you go to the Sea of Galilee and you see that it's in a valley, and you just look up and see that if there's a storm, you're not going to see it until that storm is right upon you. So if you're in the middle of the sea, and you're going to be used to being in storms, because you have no way of detecting a storm until it comes over the mountain range, because there's all mountains around it. Well, if you think about that, now all of a sudden you go, oh, here are the disciples who are fishermen, experienced fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. They would be used to being in storms, and a storm comes up. And in Mark, it refers to it as a mega storm. And this storm gets them, who are desensitized to being in storms. It comes over and they're scared. They're scared enough that they're calling to Jesus, like, help us, we're perishing.
Yeah.
This was not a typical storm. This is a storm that made them scared, and they were used to being in storms. All of a sudden, you read that a little differently. And so being in Israel, you get to see things like that. And so we're actually going for a longer time than we had planned last year. We're going to be a 13-day trip. It's going to be from February 20th to March 4th of 2023. It's going to be myself with Striving for Eternity, Matt Slick from Karm.org. We're going to have both Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson from Mormon Research Ministries. And so we'll be doing the devotions. There's 13 days. Your hotels are included. Your breakfast and dinners are included. One lunch is included. 4-star or plus hotels. The guide is included. The bus is included. One of the things that the way Israel does, you have to have an Israeli guide, but we also have an archaeologist that will be coming and joining with us. So we're going to go to certain sites that, because of his credentials, gets us to certain places in the Dead Sea and other places that not everyone gets to go to. So it's really a once in a lifetime type of trip, because, and it is expensive. I get that. It's just that the way Israel does things, they know tourism is their big thing. We have to pay for an Israeli bus driver, Israeli guide. Even if we use our own guides, which we do, we still have to use the Israeli guide as well. So it is going to be about $5,000. I think it's $5,300 if you fly with us, $4,100 if you don't. We're flying out of Newark, New Jersey. And if you register prior to the end of May, you get the early bird special is $100 off. And if you did register at that time, and we get 45 people that fly with us, that do the trip and fly with us, I think it's another $100 off. So you can get $200 off. So with that, it would be about $5,100. And that's a lot. I get it. That's why we're pushed it out so long, so people have time to try to save the money for this. Because
I mean, it's a lot of money, but it's also a 13-day vacation in a foreign country. I mean, I don't think you'd get much cheaper anywhere else, really. And you're not going to have your faith lifted in, you know, if you're going to Hawaii quite the same way, I would imagine. So,
and you're basically getting several days education of of the Holy Lands. And one of the things that the guy who runs it, he's going to be sending people things ahead of time. So it's like, hey, here's some books to get. Here's a, he gives a DVD series. So you learn about Israel before you even go. Mm-hmm. And so you get to see these places, and we're going to be having daily devotions at all these places. You're going to get some very well-known speakers to be able to do the devotions. So it really will be a neat trip if people can afford it.
No, I realize that, awesome.
I mean, that's the big thing. It's there's two big factors with it. Can people take the time off work, and can people afford the trip? And I get that.
But, no, and I've never heard somebody tell me that, you know, I've known a few people that have gone to Israel. Every one of them says that, you know, it just changed the way that, you know, it changed their faith basically to get there in the Holy Land and just see it with your own eyes and walk it with your own feet. Like, you know, you can read it all you want, but until you're actually there and see it. I mean, we've always wanted to go. Maybe we'll find a way to join you.
Well,
praying for it.
You know, but there is, there's awesome. There's a way that you could have afforded it if you stopped buying so many beds. You know, if you didn't,
I'm telling you,
if you 3 beds, 2 years, and now you're buying just as many laptops in the same time. I mean,
look, all right, settle down with the laptops there. All right, that's
let's just get this straight. If you would have just got a Sleep Number bed right from the beginning, you probably would have saved money by now, and you could both set your own numbers. I'm just saying,
we probably neglected wise counsel from my family member who was like, they're not that expensive. Go find a used one. She's like, you know, the air pocket inside doesn't get worn out. Like if it's somebody just laying it. So just find a used one. It's half the price. And I was like, and of course I didn't listen because that's who I am.
You picked the mattress. I didn't even have to say, Andrew. But he picked
okay.
I don't know. I want to compare prices and I probably would just been like, just get a Sleep Number.
My bride and I went through a similar thing. 10 years on a really hard mattress, and I'd wake up every day, back, neck, hurt, got it. And I just went, okay, I thought maybe this is just part of getting old. And I wasn't old then. But we got the Sleep Number. My wife was like, this is too expensive for a bed. And I said, look, we can always return it. And day one, I said, we are not returning this. It took her 3 more days because the price tag was enough. But she actually then after that didn't want to stay in our RV because the bed there was so much different. So okay, you already made that mistake. All right. You should have called me first, but Sleep Number bed, that would have solved your problems. But let me at least kind of give you a way to recover from that. Okay. Go to mypillow.com, get their 3-inch mattress topper. Okay. And I'll even tell you how you could save some money. Use our promo code. It's Driving Fury SFE. And you can save some money. But that actually has been huge in helping with my sleep as well. So those are the two things.
Well, Nikki just got a MyPillow pillow that she loves. So that was our first MyPillow product. And
I will just mention really quickly. I should have still used your code for the pillow.
Sorry if you guys could. We record, God bless it, in a room with a skylight in Florida. So if you can hear the rain, we apologize.
If you didn't mention that, people probably
know. I'm like your congregation. I just have to call it like I see it. You know? So just don't want people to be like, was that Andrew's? No, it's ours. Ours is the one that's messed up. So
clothes dryer going. Oh no.
Oh gosh.
We'll see how this bed goes. It does have a 1-year trial, but we'll see. The way it's going.
Look, you didn't announce what you ended up settling with.
We went with it's called Dream Cloud. I was looking up, you know, because I'm kind of a side sleeper. She's an all over sleeper. And I was kind of getting a lot of like, you know, medium firm mattresses. This was a really well recommended one. And so I was like, you know,
but
whatever,
it's supposed
let's just try.
To be super heavy in all the reviews of people are like, this box, like it should have came with the built-in wheels.
Yes,
and these people
are
like,
the reason I went with Sleep Number when I was looking between that and the Tetrapedic or whatever it was called that they had.
Yeah.
So, but you know, look, we could solve problems for you guys. Sleep Number bed, get the MyPillow mattress topper 3-inch, That gets your sleep better. And if you just get yourself a Mac, you wouldn't need to keep replacing your PC, you know?
Well, I did heed your advice there. So we are currently, I did heed your advice. We're recording now on a Mac Studio. So I did go out and get the Mac, which is why she had to get me a dongle, because I'm now living the Apple dongle life with external hard drives and all sorts of good stuff. So I'm invested in that now.
What's a dongle?
My external hard drive that you had to go and get me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what it was called.
Yeah, she's super tech savvy. She's like, which one is this? I'm like, well, that's not even.
The audience really wants to know at this point, Nikki, does he complain about everything or just most things? I mean, I'm just curious, everything he's saying.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to think about it. It's a lot.
It's all in love, I think. I mean, 16 years now, she's used to it. It's just the way I am.
No,
it's not bad. The laptop thing, I don't buy a lot of laptops. That's the thing. This is going way off the tracks here.
He returns things before he gets something new.
I use a lot of laptops. And if I don't like it for whatever reason, I just send it back. And I've done that a lot. Because I'm like, you know what? If I'm paying this much money for something, I'm going to like it. So I did with the Mac Studio that I'm recording on. I love this thing. So it's not going anywhere. Now, okay. The personal laptop, who knows?
So Nikki, he just doesn't like change is what I think we're hearing.
I'm just wondering. I get nervous. I'm like, he's swapping everything out, but he's faithful to me. So,
yeah. So you'll
get bored.
She's the Mac Studio of wives.
he keeps the important things. That's right.
So maybe we'll heed your advice. We'll see. I mean, I've heard multiple people tell me to get a sleep number. It'd probably be wise if I listened to it, but...
Yeah, it's the only, because nobody advised us on a Dream Cloud.
Well, right. So I just convinced myself that everyone's an idiot except me. You know, that's typically the way
he seeks counsel and then he rejects it all.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that was terrible counsel. Let me just go and do something completely different. And then I'm like, that was not a good idea.
But no. Listen. Nikki, we heard the reason. He already gave the reason. It had a return policy.
There you go. And he's like, if you don't like this within 3 days, we're sending it back. I was like, you think my back is going to be better in 3 days?
Well, on a sleep number, mine was. I'm just saying.
There you go.
Okay.
No, I do. Yeah, the dual comfort, I think, would be definitely nice. So
I think
yeah.
It's wise.
We'll see.
I just think that is the wisest bed for married couples. Like, that's probably who they...
Now, here's the irony is my wife and I thought we'd have totally different numbers on it. And now we both synced up. We're on the same number.
How funny.
Perfect. Maybe that's, I mean, I guess when you've been married long enough, you become the same number. Two numbers become one.
Yeah.
I think it's biblical.
The nice thing about when you've been married long enough is, and I don't know if you've gotten to that point yet where you could just look at each other and just in a look, you guys get to know everything someone's saying. Just in one look, my bride and I can look at each other with a room full of people and just give one quick glance and know exactly what each other's thinking.
No, yeah. I do it all the time. I look over and I'm like, oh, she's mad at me. That's the way it goes. Is that what you're talking about? Or is that just different for me?
I was actually kind of thinking that that's just a permanent state for her. So how would you know if the look or...
Yeah, we'll see.
He jokes much like we have... We're terrible marriage or something.
Two peas in a pod here. Living the dream. All right. So one of the things that we've been wanting to tell people about, because we've been pitching this Christian podcast community, is to, hear it from you, from the founder. Like, what is the Christian podcast community?
I don't know.
All right, well, that wraps up the interview. Let's have a nice night, guys.
Well, here's what it is. Striving Fraternity is a discipleship ministry. That's what we do. We disciple, and we look for a lot of creative ways to disciple people. Sometimes it's going into churches and doing seminars. Sometimes it's going to be through online courses. Sometimes it's going to be through one-on-one type things. But one thing that we start to realize is that there's a lot of people that get into ministry, and don't really know that much about ministry. So what we try to do is disciple people in ministry. And a lot of people get into podcasting. We realize that there's a lot of people start a podcast, have no idea the technology, don't understand anything of audio editing, anything, and they just want to get started. I mean, it doesn't sound like anybody here, I know.
No, no, God.
I don't know anyone here. But
talking for those other guys.
Yeah. But you have that. And then you have people that they want a podcast, but they don't really have good content. In other words, they start getting a following and then they start going off the rails. And so we said, let's do something where we could disciple people and know that they're going to have some discipleship that, hey, your audios need some work. Let's work on it. Hey, you said this, let's talk about this theologically. And so in the background, that's what Striving Fraternity's viewing it as, is it's an opportunity for us to disciple others. We have over 50, I think if I remember correctly, like 54 podcasts right now, another one that's going to be joining soon. But we have new podcasters coming in almost weekly, but we vet them. You guys experience that. We're not easy on people. I mean, we have a process, and we rejected. Numbers gotten better because a lot of our podcasters are now having friends who podcast, and because they're already, they know they're solid, they recommend them. And we used to reject about, or only accept, I would say about 30%. We're up to like 40%, but you know, 60% of the people that apply never get on. And so there's a lot of different reasons for it, but we look at it and we're very careful on who we allow on. But here's the one thing with us. We're not a network. We're a community. How do we make that difference? We say that we offer a platform. We're not a publisher. So we don't decide what your content is. If you own your content, you have your stuff, you say what you want, no one else is responsible for what you say. In a network where they're a publisher, there's that association. We wanted to just offer a platform where people can promote one another, get to know other podcasters, other podcasts, get their podcast known. And yet what we're doing in the background, Striving Fraternity, is looking, how can we disciple people? How can we help them? And so that's what we do. So we have about 30 plus hours of content every week. And people can actually, if they want, just go to Christian Podcast Community. That's a podcast itself. And from there, they can listen to all the hosted podcasts.
That's honestly like, how we listen to them, is we just go on there and you scroll through and you'll find, you know, podcasts from all different podcasters. And you're like, oh, that title sounds interesting. Let me listen to that. And
well, I usually listen if I'm on a long drive, or else I don't really have time to listen. Yeah. You know, uninterrupted. I'm not going to finish one, but if I have to drive far, like I drove like an hour to some place the other day and then back, and that's when I listened to yours, the Leviticus one.
But what's cool about it is it's like, you know, because you're always trying to find, you know, new podcasts and stuff like that, but you don't really know where to find them, and you're looking at a thumbnail and a title, you know. But obviously, being a part of the Christian podcast community, you feel invested, which is why I like being a part of the community. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm going to listen to somebody, I should listen to the people that I'm partnering with, in a sense.
Yeah.
But then also you get, like, you know, people that you get to listen to, like, I think it's, what is it, the 16, is it 1618? I can't think of the name right now, but he's a missionary out in the field, right? Doing a podcast. And you're like, man, that is way better than what I'm doing right now. Well, I'm raising kids. Maybe that's my mission field. Anywho, but it's awesome. Gosh. So you're like getting the word from the field and you're like, man, that's really cool. Like, I'm partnering, I'm kind of on the same journey with this guy. And that's mm-hmm. really neat to get his perspective. And I do like the idea, like you mentioned, it's a community, not a network. What was it just this year, right? I mean, Joe Rogan, you know, and his backlash, and Spotify wiped like 70 of its episodes off their network.
Chose to do that.
Oh, did he? Okay.
He chose to do that.
But they had that pressure to censor him.
Yeah.
Which, if there's pressure there, there might be the possibility there. Yep. So it's definitely none of that, you know, none of that sort of strong arming from that we felt so far from Andrew. Mentorship.
That's the way we're doing it. We, you know, if Spotify is a publisher, right, they control that content and they can take him down. Look, when it comes to podcasting, if you don't own your stuff, if you don't own it, you don't control it, you're going to be in trouble at some point. And we're seeing this in YouTube, in Facebook, in Twitter. I mean, they're going to censor. They don't want to hear the Christian message. I mean, just think, I mean, this, I know you guys dealt with some of this in your news sections, but just think about this. People at Twitter are blowing their minds because Elon Musk wants to buy Twitter for the purpose of opening speech. And what's the arguments? That this is going to destroy democracy, that free speech needs more moderation. I mean, just think about that. Okay, we're going to make better free speech. It's going to be freer if we censor it. Wait, aren't those? We're in 1984, folks. 1984. Oh, yeah. I mean, the words free speech now means censorship.
Yeah, that's what it's we've crazy. Been, you know, we've been kind of sounding that alarm when we can. You know, you see a lot of these churches, and we've done articles about churches that are going digital full time. And you're like, man, once you go digital and you put all your eggs in their basket, they can just shut you off whenever they want to. Like, you no longer have a church. So we've been trying to warn people, like, it's fine to have an online presence, but that needs to be secondary to, you know, being in person, because they own you. When, you know, when YouTube is your church's platform, then if they don't want you to have a platform, you don't have a platform, and that's dangerous.
Yeah. And that's the thing that you end up seeing with all this stuff. And that's why we, as you guys know, you signed a contract that says you own your feed, you own your RSS feed, you own your content. We can't take that legally. We can't take that from you.
Yeah. You know? No, it's been a huge blessing, and we recommend people to go and just jump on that feed, the Christian podcast community feed. And just, I mean, every day there's plenty of episodes being uploaded every day, every week. So there's always something interesting, and it's all godly and good, uplifting. And there's all different. I mean, we've got, I can't think of the lady's name now, but she does movie reviews. I mean, like, so there's all sorts. It's not just apologetics, you know. But there is apologetics, right? If you want to get into that. So it's really beneficial and covers a wide gambit of, I was telling him about one of the episodes with Matt Slick that I listened to, where he had some kid call him about, like, spirits in his house, and he's going to see a shaman. And I was like, God bless Matt Slick for just taking that phone call. Like,
well, what is going on? Yeah, when you get to know Matt, and hey, listen, when you come to Israel with Matt and I, it's going to be, that'll be half the fun is right there. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, if you go to christianpodcastcommunity.org, you could go to shows and you could say, I just want apologetic shows. Let me go look at them. I want shows for women. I want shows for fatherhood or apologetics or, you know, theology, whatever your topic. And we'll actually limit that to the shows that deal with those type of topics. And so you can go and check out, you could go binge shows if you want and go back to all the older episodes. You were mentioning, you know, Eve Franklin with her show, Are You Just Watching, which is a monthly show about secular movies, how to think critically about secular movies. You know, people just go and move to watch a movie, and they don't, it's like, are you just watching it? That's the whole idea of it. You shouldn't be just watching. You should be thinking about it. How does the Christian worldview interact with what you're watching?
Yeah, you know? No, and that's perfect. That perfect's what we try to do, what we can in that vein. So that lines up perfectly with us. But I guess in that vein, like, and I don't know if you even think about this, but what do you see sort of as the future of the Christian podcast community? Or is it just continuing on with this, building partnerships, relationships, discipling, mentoring? Or is there some grandiose plan working in the back of your brain there?
We want to buy out Elon Musk. No,
perfect. I've got like $7 in a mattress I can throw in on that. So,
you know, our goal was this. If you go in the categories for podcasts, religion and spirituality is the number one. And it mostly because when you think about it, all these sermons, you know, every church has got their sermons up as a podcast. So that's why that's the biggest. But when you look at that, when you would look in that category, even if you go down to Christianity, still, who's number one? You got Joel Osteen. You got, you know, Joyce Meyer. I mean, everyone that no one should be listening to is in that top. And our goal has always been that we would cross-promote one another well enough that all of us get higher in the ranking, but someone gets in that top position, someone that's solid.
Anybody but Joel.
Well, and that's the thing, right? That's the rising tide lifts all boats. So if anybody can get from the Christian podcast community, can crack that, and you just that's sort true. Of are bringing everybody with us, because that's something that gets frustrating. You know, everybody wants to have a voice, right? And they have these podcasts and videos. But unless you're like, and we all want people to have a voice. We want more Christians in like the society and culture, but then we all just get kind of stuck in this rut of listening to the same ones, because that's who Spotify promotes and Apple Podcasts promotes. So it's, you know, you might've heard on the last episode, but we were joking. I've started the jail ministry and they get their little tablets.
I heard that. I was really surprised they let you out.
Good behavior. But yeah, they're like, oh, well, what's that, you know, pastor we were listening to on our tablets? Because they get these tablets and they're like, Stephen Furtick? He's like, no, it's Joel Osteen. And I was like, oh, Lord, like the last people on planet Earth that probably need to be listening to Joel Osteen is prisoners, right? Like
they have their tablets. Just redirect them to justinpeters.org. Just say, okay, go on YouTube and search Justin Peters and watch everything, please.
But like, so we want these Christians to have a voice and we need more of them in the culture. So we need to start giving these other people that have a lot to say that's worthwhile to hear. We've got to start supporting them so that their name does get recognized, because there's a lot of smart, thoughtful, caring Christian men and women out there that have great messages, but you get buried, you know, because when you're just a random person starting a podcast and there's nobody to help support you and you don't know what you're doing. And, you know, it's easy when you're a celebrity and you're like, I'm going to start a podcast. Well, great. You're already world famous. Like, of course people are going to hear you, but so we need to find a way to sort of bring everybody up together and get our names out there so people can hear what Justin Peters has to say, what Andrew Rappaport has to say. And, cause it's valuable, and it's more valuable oftentimes than what Spotify wants Christians to hear. Cause that's really the secular do nothing, make you feel good kind of Christianity, not the world changing Christianity.
Well, yeah. And the thing that you end up seeing is that, unfortunately, with the podcasting, the number one question I get in podcasting is, how can I get more downloads? How can I be heard? How can I, and you guys see it in our Christian podcast community Facebook group, which is more open than just the Christian podcast community. That's open to anyone, any Christian podcaster. And we get people that are never going to get on the Christian podcast community, but they go in and we're rejecting like a dozen posts a day where they're just like, listen to my latest episode. And we say, you can't spam this group, right? Because everyone, it's like, people say, how do I get good content? Or how do I get more downloads? Produce good content, produce content that people want to share. And you know what happens? People share it. You know, that's the thing. And so what I find frustrating and why we ended up starting this is because so many people that start podcasts, it ends up being all about me. I want to get my voice out there. Because I'm doing all this time to build this, to put this content together, do this editing, put everything out there. I want people to listen. That's what every podcaster is saying.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is they're out there constantly saying, me, 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 me. Hey, everyone, look at me. Here I am. Focus on me. Focus on me. And we said, this isn't the way Christians should behave. No. So we wanted to say, hey, everybody focus on one another. And as you said, it just raises everyone up. You know, if I promote my podcast to the people I already know, they already know about the podcast. I don't get a new audience that way. But if I'm promoting 10 podcasts in the Christian podcast community and they're all promoting 10 podcasts, of which mine is included, guess what? I'm getting 10 different podcasts promoting my podcast to an audience I don't know. And that's the what we're trying to do with it, is to encourage Christian behavior of promoting others rather than self, and at the same time, helping one another. Crazy thought, I know. Christians acting like Christians, crazy.
Yeah. You do have to explain it in any podcast community or any other kind of community, we're helping each other out.
But it does also take that mentorship sometimes, because you get locked in that bubble, right? Like, I'm producing all this content, I'm doing all this, like, help me get found. And you get sort of wrapped or, you know, pigeonholed in that little vein. And you kind of need someone to be like, hey man, step back, right? Like, you are a Christian, aren't you? Like, think bigger than you. And then you're like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, I know what you're saying is right. I just kind of got lost for a minute. So you need to step back and be like, okay, that's why I'm doing this now.
Thinking about how hard it was, like we were talking about the editing and the uploading and how the slow uploading that we deal with. And so you're just thinking how hard you worked. And then you think how badly you want people to hear it because you work so hard on it. But then we're not thinking everybody else is going through the same thing. And they probably had more frustrating things to deal with than we had maybe.
Yeah, there's actually a good question on our Christian podcast community group, like the actual sort of smaller group for the podcasters. And one of the guys was like, oh, I'm thinking about hiring out an editor for my podcast and put it out there. And you're like, yeah, here's what I pay for mine. And he's like, no thanks. <You're> like, can't do that. And you're like, but that's good mentorship, right? Like, hey, this is what you get, you know, if you want to go this route. And he's like,
can I just do this on Fiverr? Well, could. But you get what you pay for on Fiverr too.
Yeah, your Uncle Eddie could do it too, probably, and put it up on YouTube. So we know you're busy. So we just got, I have one last question. Do you have any last thing to ask Andrew before we wind up letting him go back to his wonderful sleep number bed?
I know, right?
So I had a question when I was listening. Well, this is just kind of, you would, wondering if you had pondered any further. This is not even in Christian podcast community lane, but you had brought up an idea. You guys were talking about demons. I don't remember if you remember this episode. It was a few episodes back when you were talking about demons and that us saved people in our resurrected bodies, we would be judging angels. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who your co-host was at the time, but he mentioned that in the context of this verse, does that mean that we're judging good angels? As opposed to bad. And I was like, I have never even heard somebody mention that before, but that's fascinating. So the last question I want to give you is one you haven't even thought of probably. But I'm just curious if you had any extra thought on that. Cause I mentioned it to our audience. I was like, this was a fascinating question I've never thought of before, but.
Yeah. And what you saw there, my co-host on that was Pastor Jim Osmond from Kootenai Community Church. He has a podcast as well in the community of his sermons and a brilliant guy. And we're going through a series on our doctrinal statement. Basically, it's a systematic theology that's on my Wrap Report podcast. And we're just discussing what's behind why we wrote this doctrinal statement that we wrote. What's it answering? What's it trying to address? What are the things that we're saying, hey, this is wrong, this is right. That's basically what a doctrinal statement is doing. And we're going through that. And what you got to hear on there was as we're talking theology, Jim just was like, hey, I never thought of that in light of this, of the fact that we always think of that we're going to be judging the unholy angels, those angels that fell. We're going to stand kind of as a jury in that case. But what about the holy angels? And neither one of us had ever heard that, never read anything about that. And, you know, it got he and I looking and we're looking things up and going, huh, really haven't noticed things. And this is really interesting thing. So what would we be doing? And this is how our conversations have been going since then is like, so what would we be doing judging the holy angels? Because we think about it and say, okay, we as believers are going to be judged, but we're going to be seen as righteous because of what Christ did on our behalf. So how are we going to be judged? We're going to be judged by the things we did on our sanctification, where God's going to give us rewards and crowns. What are we going to do with them? We're going to turn those right around and go, here you go, Lord, because we can't take credit for the good work that God does in our life to bring us to do good works. That goes all back to God. And so what would the angels, holy angels, they can't do anything wrong. Would we be judging them for the decision? Well, they don't have those kind of decisions. You see, all of a sudden you realize that. And so I think right now I'm leaning to the fact of there would be nothing for us to judge them. But I think that we would be standing over as all the angels get judged and those unholy angels get sentenced. But we may be standing over the holy angels just in a form where God is having all the angels stand in front of them. But we don't know. There's not, and one of the things I was saying in the episodes on angels, there's just not enough information to really cover the topic where we could dig into that and know for sure. And so it this is the fun thing where what you got discovered there on the Wrap Report was you end up having some discussions in theology where people go, gee, I don't know about that, never thought of that. And those some of those things would end up happening where I heard Jim's sermon from a year ago when he was preaching the Resurrection Day sermon, and he just mentioned it. And this is the thing of when you have a brilliant guy like Jim Osmond, an offhanded comment that was not in his notes got me studying and looking into things. He just happened to mention as he's going through the resurrection, and he points out, speaking of the resurrection of Christ, he ends up going back to the Davidic covenant and looking at the Davidic covenant and how the Davidic covenant is specifically that from the line of David would come a king that would reign forever on a physical throne. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he ends up going, the only way for the Davidic covenant, this was just an offhanded comment, he goes, the only way for the Davidic covenant to be fulfilled is in a premillennial view. And I went, wait, what? All of a sudden, I've never heard anyone say this. So I start digging into that. What do I do? I said, Jim, you got to come on to my podcast. I had him on my Apologetics Live podcast. Why? Because that one people can interact with. Anyone can come in. You go to apologeticslive.com. That's the times and are there how to join. It's all on that website. But you just go there Thursday nights. And so we had people coming in and start reacting. We had one of the other podcasters from Matter of Theology. He's post-millennial. He's like, huh, okay, I'm gonna tackle what Jim's saying. So he did a whole episode responding to Jim. And so we did a second Apologetics Live where we had both of them come in. And the beauty of that one is because there was one point where Jim made a point and Drew from Matter of Theology just goes, yeah, that's a really good point, Jim. He didn't sit there and realize he was kind of stuck and go like, oh, I'm going to lash out at you. He just was like, you know, Jim, that's a really good point. I don't know that I have an answer. Let me think about it and come back to you. That's the way we should be doing, you know, discussing theology. We even have a podcast for that called Theology Throwdown, which is where all of us as Christian podcasters can come on. We pick a topic. The last month's topic was the Lord's Supper, and we all just discuss it. And so we're even in that, what are we doing? We're trying as Striving Fraternity, we're using that podcast, the Theology Throwdown, to disciple how to discuss theology, that we can discuss our differences with love and charity. A crazy idea. I get it. But you know, that's what we're trying to disciple and train. Mm. Even though at the same time, we're teaching everyone giving their differing views of the theological positions. I mean, we have Presbyterians, we have Baptists, we have a couple, we got someone that just applied that's Wesleyan, Anglican. So we'll see if they make it through, but.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's really good. And I highly encourage everyone to go and give it a listen. Cause I mean, that's quite literally, you know, iron sharpening iron sort of
in action. That's the kind of stuff I'm always pondering too, is I'll have to go give those a listen. Even when we're on our run today, I'm talking about, you know, just different views of eschatology. And I'm like, well, how can this be?
That's how me and Nikki go running. We go for a run and she's like, are we going to judge good angels? And you're like, what? I'm not even, oh God, this is going to be a fun run.
I've bounced back and forth with all of them, but I was only taught, well, we were all taught the Left Behind eschatology. So, but yeah. We've definitely learned there's other views that you never knew were existed.
Correct.
And I've considered all of them and I still, I don't know. Cause there's always something in scripture that pops up. That's kind of like, well, how can this be if this is going on? And
oh, you should go back and binge the whole series from the start that we went through with our series of what we believe, because we ponder, that's what we do. We're just pondering these things and explaining these things. We're getting into a lot of different religions and different beliefs and what scripture says about them and why we think that we're right. Obviously, I mean, everyone thinks they're right, but what we think scripture says on these things. And so we go through that. And, you know, my co-hosts and I don't always agree. My main Jim was filling in for my regular co-host, Bud, but Bud and I are not on the same page theologically. We know where we differ and yet we could still discuss these things.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I think that actually adds more when we have some of the disagreement, because it helps people to see that you could disagree, not have to name call and things like that. And be able to look at what does the scripture say, not how I make a better argument than that guy. You should never believe something because someone made a better argument. You should believe because the scripture says so.
Yes, exactly. Because if someone disagrees, it's like they're disagreeing with scripture. So there's no point in being angry and arguing with one another because you're both coming from a place of just what does scripture say? And we all, we're always learning. I think there's so many things we're really not going to know until it's right upon us. And God is going to reveal, okay, we're in this time now. And maybe it's hidden from us for a time until we're in it. That's what I've been considering lately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, we're all wrong theologically. Okay. Every one of us, we're wrong somewhere. Now, we'd be intellectually dishonest if we knew we were wrong and didn't change. But every one of us is wrong theologically. The thing is we don't know where that is. But when we sit at the feet of Christ, he's going to correct us. You know, we mentioned Matt's like, Matt and I are very good friends. We've debated each other more than we've debated anybody else. And he and I together have done dozens and dozens of debates. We've debated each other on infant, but he's Presbyterian, I'm Baptist, infant baptism. We've debated covenant theology, dispensationalism. We've debated spiritual gifts. And we've done these several times. And the thing is that people love watching us debate because we know each other well. We know each other's arguments well. We know each other personally well. So we're not going to hate the other guy. We're not going to name call. We're not going to sit and try to, you know, be mean to one another. We're doing it because we want to educate the audience. And one time we got asked in an audience, they said, you know, they asked of Matt, they said, you know, you guys seem to always try to protect the other person's position from straw man arguments from your own side. I've seen this with you in several of the debates. Why do you do that? And Matt said, because we're both wrong. We don't know where. But we both start with the fact that we know that we're not perfect in our theology. And so when we stand before Christ, he's going to correct us. Now, up till that point, Matt was 100% correct. The follow-on that he said is where he got wrong, because he said, he's just more right than I am on earth.
That's wrong. Well, I mean, even the apostles, right? You know, we've been reading through the resurrection accounts, and, you know, it tells you that when Jesus came back and met with them, it says that he, you know, opened up the scriptures to them. And you're like, he was lived with them every day for 3 years. What could he have possibly taught them? But you're like, they still didn't know. And they had Jesus himself for 3 years, and he still had to. So even the apostles were off base.
And it says he had to rebuke them too for their unbelief.
Yeah. So what hope do we all have, you know, besides correcting each other where we can and being open to learn and, you know, not prideful in our understanding, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, here's a fun thing. I'm finishing up. I'm preaching through Mark, and I'm almost done, and I'll finish up this month. So, providentially, I'm on Resurrection Sunday preaching on the resurrection, because that just happened, God's providence, to be where I am in Mark.
Perfect.
Beautiful. But the thing I keep saying to my congregation is, because it's amazing, the Jewish leaders, they knew what Jesus was saying. They understood what he was saying about himself. The Gentiles, they knew what Jesus was saying about himself. The unbelieving Jews, they knew what Jesus was saying about them. You know who's the only group of people that never seemed to get it? The disciples.
Yeah. I mean,
no, seriously, if this was a human book, the disciples would never write that they're the idiots of the story, that they're the only group that never got it.
Yeah.
I mean, even after he dies and raises from the dead, they still don't get it. But the Jewish leaders are like, hey, guard that tomb. One of the things I had said last week that in my sermon at Grace and Truth Bible Church is what you end up seeing is here the Jewish leaders are doing everything they can to prevent the argument that the body was stolen. So they end up securing it in such a way that when the body is gone, the only possible explanation is the resurrection.
Yeah.
The Jewish leaders are not trying to say we're going to secure the answer is the resurrection. No, they are trying everything they can to prevent what they think will be the lie. And they think after 3 days, they can just roll that stone away and go, see, here he is. But in their attempt, this is how God works, in their attempt to try to prevent that from happening, they actually secure where the only answer is the resurrection. Because had Joseph not had that tomb, had they not done the things they did, he would have been thrown into a common burial, and the body would just be there, or it would be gone at the resurrection, and they'd go, well, see, the body was just stolen. And there'd be an easy answer for that. But no, they Jewish leaders know which tomb it is. They go get a guard, guard that tomb, seal that tomb, make sure that's well protected. And now there's no other way to explain it. Amazing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. No, it's great. I mean, actually, you know, taking your time to read through those stories again and just having it. Yeah, because I mean, the disciples, they write in there the story about themselves that Mary tells them, and they're like, that's nonsense. And you're like, why would you write that about yourself? Other than it's true, right? And no, it's definitely great. But we do want to wrap this up before we keep you too long. But I do offer.
I get that pun, by the way. I get the pun because that's how we end our show every week is that's a wrap because it's the reports, rap report. So you want to wrap it up. I get it.
Well, I thought it was a hip hop podcast for the longest time, but
actually, that's why we changed the name because we called it the rap report and it's rap with two P's. And the very first episode, someone sent me a nasty email saying this has nothing to do with rap music. So I changed it to Andrew Rappaport's rap report so that people get the play on the name.
You're like, what's this Jewish fella know about hip hop music? Let me give this a listen. Oh, he doesn't know anything about it.
Awesome. I know nothing about hip hop or any other kind of music.
Well, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to share with our audience? Anything? What you got going on the next week or just any parting words of wisdom you got for the Religious Christianity podcast?
Well, if folks want to check out more of what we're doing, you could go to christianpodcastcommunity.org to see about the different podcasts there. You can go to strivingfraternity.org to find out more about the ministry of Striving Fraternity. If you want to have me come out and speak at a church or do a weekend seminar, we have weekend seminars on Bible interpretation made easy, ambassador evangelism, presuppositional apologetics. So we have a lot of different seminars that we come to churches and do. And so we could do those. But if there's any way we as a ministry can be of help to you, just reach out to us at info@strivingfraternity.org. And if you're interested in the Israel trip, go to 2023israeltour.com. So I thank you for having me on. Thank you for just letting me share with you guys the best bed to be getting.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And
for the record, I haven't heard Nikki have to be like that. She had to buy things multiple times and return it to, I'm just saying. Maybe...
No, she has this weird disease where she's happy with things that she gets and just disease? Accepts it. Not so with me.
So he's the spender and I'm just content. I'm like the minimalist mindset. I've been all about that. Well, since we moved into this.
Here's what Nikki's bad at before we end.
I get rid of things. That's what I do.
This is Nikki's.
Well, I'm glad you haven't gotten rid of your husband. That's good.
What she always does is she'll be like, I want to go to the store. And then she'll come back with like $400 worth of groceries. And I'll be looking I'm like, you didn't get anything. Like there's nothing to eat here. Well, I bought lettuce and you're like,
no,
that's her.
I'll shop in like a lot of the produce, and he just goes and gets meat,
eggs, and yogurt. That's what you need, right? I don't know. So
is there something other than meat and sugar in a man's diet?
He doesn't eat sugar.
No, it's caffeine's got to be in there for us.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, but no, we certainly appreciate it. Hopefully, we can have you back on again, and God willing, makes a way. We'll be traveling with you to Israel. Maybe I'll sell one of these laptops and get us out there. Who knows?
He can make a way.
So, where there's a will, there's a way.
There you go.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.